Anyway, hey, I always feel like this is backwards, like Pastor Appreciation Sunday should really be the day that the pastor appreciates the church. You know, it's like, I should be appreciating you, but I can't get a gift for each one of you, but I guess I could, but, you know, anyway. But it's always kind of funny, because it's like, man, I just love you guys, I love being a shepherd, this has been so awesome, and it's just so great, and I just look forward to going on to the future years with you, following after, hard after Jesus, and moving, so, because you guys are, you know, I'm moving from senior pastor to senior Jesus freak. And so that's going to happen in July. Wait, come back and see what happens. So let's see what it looks like. But anyway, hey, listen, when these guys are doing their presentation today, it's not a presentation. We had a short worship time, right? Two songs where I was getting into it. I was getting into worship. It's like, oh, it's over. But no, it's not, because these guys are going to lead us in worship. Please understand that when they're singing, they are leading us in worship. Our worship continues through the rest of the service. So when they do that, I want you to worship. I want you, don't sit there. They're not singing a song to us. They are releasing the anointing of God through worship in the words. Focus on the words. Look to Jesus. Feel what's happening in the room. I want all of us to be sensitive and increase our sensitivity to what's happening in the room. What is God doing in the room? Don't just think of yourself. Think about what's happening. And you will begin to sense. And you'll begin to feel. And you'll begin to discern what's going on. And you'll feel the presence of God. So what I want us to do, when they're singing, stand up, clap, come up here and run. Do a flag. I don't get, no. Yeah, right, whatever, okay? But we're worshiping. We are people who were saved by grace. Jesus came and paid the penalty, and we should be hallelujahing and hallelujahing and praising, right? Yes, come on. Who on the face of the earth has more to be rejoicing about this morning than us? Brothers and sisters, if you've given your life to Jesus, you're not going to hell. And if I could give you one half of 1 second's glimpse of hell, right, you would be undone with what this man did for us. And you would live the rest of your life with your face on the ground in worship and your heart in the sky with praise. That's what it would release in us. There's one person in the Bible that talked about hell more than any other person. It was Jesus. He knows what he's talking about. And he knows what it means that he is so desperate. He is so desperate to keep us out of there that he would actually go to the cross and God would send his only begotten son and sacrifice him for our sake. Because that's how much it means to God to keep us out of there. That's what's at stake. So when they're singing, worship, okay? When they're singing, worship, and then we'll sit down, we'll hear a testimony, or whoever's speaking, we'll sit down and receive that. But when they start up again, stand up again, we're going to be in this. This is a worship service all the way till we're done. And then God's going to call on us to take up an offering, and you're going to be actually so generous you can't believe it. You're going to go home saying, I can't believe I did that. All right, who am I turning this over to? Somebody, or Brad. Oh, it's Brad, my neighbor. Okay, good. Hi, buddy. All right, it's all yours.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Pastor. I'm going to change things up a little bit. So, and your back gets tired if you got to stand up here for about 30 minutes, 45 minutes, so I'm going to give these guys a rest before I call them up. Amen? Good morning. Who has heard of Adult and Teen Challenge? Okay, so I'm going to say 99.9%. I'm going to give you a little backstory. July 8th, 2020, my dad drugged me to Teen Challenge. Okay? I went through the program in 2002 up in Chicago. Now, he drugged me from a house that I owed a year's worth of rent because I couldn't pay rent. If you walked outside my door, there was a pile of tickets of public intoxication and trespassing and different things like that, because I was the town drunk over in Abingdon, okay? I lost my mom, my dad, relationship with them. I lost my son, hadn't seen him in a while. I knew he was in jail. Why? Because my car was gone. He had stolen my car, so I knew where he was at. My daughter did not want nothing to do with me either. I had it all. But Satan got a hold of me and took everything that I had. Put it in a bottle. I drank it. And then it was gone. Absolutely gone. The emphasis I'm trying to say is the Dalton Teen Challenge, with God's help, changed my life. Okay? And look at this now. I know a lot of you, okay, because now until I surrendered everything to God, I was done with relationships. I didn't want to be married ever again. It was me and God. We had this pact. I'll do whatever you want, Lord, just me and you. I don't want nothing to do with relationships. I don't want to go to a church anymore. Because I led praise and worship 15 years in my church. I done it all. I was the pillar. And then I'd sneak out back after church and have a little drink before I went home. I mean, that was just me. So I allowed Satan in my life so much, he took everything away from me. So I had nothing else to live for. I was drinking myself to death. I should have been dead, to be honest with you. Fast forward that, and 2 years ago, she was hired. Okay. Now, keep in mind now, I didn't want nothing to do with the church or nothing like that again, but I think we come here a couple years ago, and I sat in the back row. Joe, our director, recognized me. He said, "Hey, program director Brad, stand up." And I just felt a warmth here. I felt a warmth because we go, where do we go? We go to a church about every Sunday. We'll travel 4 hours to go to a church. And then you got to be told where to stand, make sure you're sitting with the camera, smoke coming up. I mean, the real deal. You got big cameras there keeping an eye on you. It's intimidating. It's intimidating. And then you're thinking, is God in here? Because I'm being told where to stand, how to worship, you know, everything else. You don't get that here. You get the Holy Spirit as soon as you walk through that door. So I'm just saying, when I talked to these, I came yesterday to the center, and I talked to some of them, and they were asking me questions about the church and everything else, and I said, "Boys, it's comfortable. You're not going to feel intimidated. Just let it go, because everybody loves everybody. We're a family." For crying out loud, Daryl asked me to help on a detail earlier this spring, and I was all for it. I seen one of you. I can't see him now, but on a stepladder 12 feet tall, changing the light bulbs out here, something in these lights, and I drove by yesterday. I just wanted to get out and help him. I mean, that's just how you feel. Once God's love captures you, you feel you want to be a part of it. And that's why I praise God that I was able. God rescued me from the depths of hell to come into this program. So today you're going to see 28. We're going to see a lot of guys. Okay? A lot of guys. When I come through, there's 12. There's 12 of us. You can get in one van. We got to take 3 vans now. That's just how God is working in this program. I'm telling you. When David Wilkerson started this back in the 50s, he had no idea. No idea. And now, and let's talk about the banquet. You guys support and come to the banquet. I've seen a few of you there. Thank you very much. But to see 800 people when just a few short years ago, you know, nothing like that. It's all God. But God has built this program up so much that we're busted at the seams. Because the Lord knows we need the help. We need the help. So I'm done rambling. Come on up here, man. Let's knock the socks off, amen? Come on, give him a hand. Hey, Herman, did you know one out of every three of us knows somebody that has overdosed? One out of every three of us have known somebody who's overdosed. Okay? That's unreal if you think about it. You know, it's kind of the white elephant in the room. Nobody wants to talk about it. I got somebody at home that couldn't come to church today because they're so hungover or strung out on drugs or something, but we won't tell anybody because it's embarrassing. That's how I was. Nobody wanted to tell anybody in my church that their lead praise and worship singer was so hungover from the night before, but yet he was on stage trying to put on the show, but actually he was hurting so much he didn't know where to go. So that's why you're looking at these guys here and they're the same way. You have to reach a point of desperation that you want a different life. That's the only way you're going to come in through the door and be told you got to shave, you got to sing, you got to work, you got to get up in the morning, you got to make your bed, you got to... If we knew how to follow rules, we wouldn't have walked through the door anyway. Let's be real. If we didn't have it figured out. These guys here are testimony. They're figuring it out. They're figuring it out. God's the one that's got to start it, though. You got to let God in your heart, and then eventually, I should say with a little patience, but that's kind of what it takes a little bit. You got to be ready to receive what God has for you in His time. It's not going to happen overnight. Amen? Brother Michael, where are you at? Come on up, brother. Tell them what God's doing.
Hello, church. My name is Michael, and I am 46. I grew up with my mom and a big step family. She got married when I was three, and they had been being abused. My stepbrother started abusing us when I was three, and I grew up really really shy and really afraid of men, and I hung out and stuck with my mom. My mom was my world, my life. There was no time for Jesus, except for church on Sunday or Bible study. I didn't realize till later that that wasn't a relationship. I would like to say my story is that I worked for the state for 14 years. I was able to buy my mom a home. I kept her safe and at home until she went to heaven. But the reality is that through all that, I was drinking and using meth. My mom died with me high. And it wasn't until I reached, my own bottom, because going to church wasn't enough. I wasn't able to stay clean and sober. And I spent 11 months here in Illinois isolating and hating myself and trying to do it on my own, getting sober, going to meetings, getting a sponsor. Once in a while, sober enough to go to church on a Sunday. That's my story. I finally got to where I had no hope. I didn't trust myself. I didn't believe in myself. And that's where Adult Teen Challenge came in. Because it's not a regular, like a treatment program. It's a discipleship. It's Christ-centered. It's a place where you go when you have no hope, when you don't want to and can't do it on your own, but you get to work, you get to earn your keep, help pay it forward for other brothers. We work 40 hours a week. We're not a drain on healthcare. We come in there broken. I didn't even think I would make it a week. But God relieved me from the daily, incessant obsession and compulsion to drink and use drugs, and to smoke cigarettes, which I thought that would be my big reason to leave. Since being in there, I have built healthy relationships with other men. I have brothers. I have a family that loves me. I can go to somebody. I pray. I want to pray and read the Bible more and more. And I am I'm able to do God's will instead of living my own will. And yeah, I think that's about it. Yeah, it's
absolutely.
Thank you. I do want to say that if you know people or anyone that does go to church and just go to Bible study, that's not a relationship, and we need to tell people that, because if you think you already have God and you're out there searching to fill holes and to find happiness, to find meaning and purpose, and you think you already have it, you're lost and you don't know where to go. My life verse is 1 Thessalonians 1:8. pardon me. Your lives are echoing the Master's word. The news of your faith in God is out. We don't even have to say anything anymore. You're the message. Thank you.
Sound pretty good, don't they? Sound really, really, really good. You know, the next testimony here, we always have a mixture, okay? We have a mixture. And there's always in our group, there's always one that you just, he's got that. He may break the worst rule of the house. But he's got that grin, and you can't, you know what I'm talking about, just like, he's got that grin, you just think, oh, how can I say something? He's so cute. So, so when I asked him last night, I went to the center yesterday and I said, Trent, will you give a testimony today? Of course, he turns around and goes, I already gave one a month ago. I thought I just had to give it once a year. I didn't think I had to do it again. So then they start bartering. Well, can I have an extra pass if I get, testimony? Can I not shave for a week? But he didn't go that far. Because God's working in his life. God's working in his life. TD, come on up, brother.
Hello, my name is Trenton Davis. I'm 22 years old, and I was born and raised in Galesburg, Illinois. I was raised briefly by my mother. My dad wasn't really around. DCFS got involved, ended up moving in with my grandmother and grandfather. I was getting in trouble a lot, ended up going to alternative schools. About sixth grade, my grandfather ended up going to get a surgery to make him skinnier. And along with that surgery, afterwards, you have a tendency to become an alcoholic again and whatnot. And shortly after that, he passed away, so I started acting out more. I started hanging out with people I wasn't supposed to, distributing things I wasn't supposed to. Eventually started finding myself in jail every other month. And instead of thinking about how I could have got away with things or how I'm going to get away with it next time, I started thinking about how I wanted change in my life because I was tired of everybody perceiving me to be the villain and how I'm always going to do the bad thing. So I got arrested one time, beginning of this year, and I was sitting in the county for about 3 months and asked my attorney for an application to Teen Challenge. And spent about 9 months, going on 9 months here soon in Teen Challenge. And yeah, by the grace of God and only that, I started rebuilding relationships I thought were impossible, getting relationships built with my daughters again, my grandmother, my sister, and I can only imagine what God has in store with me for me. These last couple months here. Amen. And I could, yes, ma'am. And that's all I and that's all I got for you guys.
Thank you.
Y'all know I got married. I've already established that. No. And I'm not going to come in every Sunday and say I got married. I ain't doing that. 2 months tomorrow. I get married, all right. Now, 4 years ago, I come in the program, I hadn't shaved in months. The hair I had left was down, was getting pretty shaggy. You know, you get married, you get the fancy ring, got the watch going on. Hairspray now for the few 4 or 5 hairs I got. Got to make sure I got hairspray on before I walk across the street. Cologne. And I learned last Sunday when I was here, if you didn't talk to him, it's because the stuff, the expensive stuff she bought me only requires one squirt while I'm putting them on all over the place. Found that out too. So, this next testimony is a guy who walked in the door, he was broke. He's going to tell you that too, that he was broken. Okay. And God places certain people in the program at certain times for a reason. There's no doubt. So mind you, we have several guys that come in on a daily basis that hadn't gotten a haircut, like I said, hadn't shaved in months. But he brings in a talented barber that cleans these guys up. And after a while, after you receive God and you think, you know what, he's got a purpose for me, I want these guys to see that too. I want guys to see what God's doing in my life. So he takes them under his wing and cleans them up and shows them that, hey, I'm not a bad-looking guy. God loves me. And he's an awesome singer too. I'll plug that in there too, Harry. So anyway, Brother Harry, come on down.
Good morning, church. My name is Harry Atlas Isaiah Meeks II. Yes. I'm 40 years old. I'm from Aurora, Illinois, born and raised. I'm the youngest and the only boy of 6 that I grew up in my household. I have 5 older sisters. And as you probably know, that was quite a time growing up with 5 older sisters, you know. But I love it. I love my family. It's a close-knit family. I always have been, still is to this day. But in saying that, I had gotten to a point in my life, being the baby and the only boy, I was spoiled my whole life, spoiled. You know, I got whatever I wanted. And I can't say that that was the best idea for me because it, you know, it led me into the wrong things. But moving forward, I got to a point to where I was just so lost and so broken and just so far gone, addicted to cocaine and alcohol for the last 20 plus years, that my family, my sisters, who I am extremely close to, my mother, my father, everybody had started to kind of back up from it, you know, step away, like, and that was extremely scary, you know. I never thought that would happen. I never thought I'd get to that point, you know. I was just lying to myself for years that I wasn't that bad, you know, because I was able to function still. You know, I believe on a higher level than most addicts could, you know, and I probably was tricking myself there as well. That was a trick of the enemy to keep me in that state of mind and that lifestyle. But I had one, my testimony has changed now. I've been in the program, I'm in my 11th month now, and thank you. I don't wanna go into all the horrible, ugly things that I've been through in my life. My testimony has changed now. I don't wanna stay on that. I wanna talk about the point that brought me here. I was lost completely. I was ready to die. I thought that I was going to die. And I was on my knees. I broke down to my knees after, you know, probably being up 3 days. Broke down to my knees. I was crying out to the Lord in my room because I was raised in the church all my life. And I just asked him, you know, like, something's got to give. Like, I knew I needed help, you know. I knew it. But I probably would have never come here, to be honest with you, to Adult and Teen Challenge. I wouldn't have done it myself. But after that prayer, I don't remember the exact amount of time. Could be 10 minutes or 20, but not any longer than that. My sister texted me or called me, one of the two. She called me. I answered the phone, but then I got off the phone real quick because I was too ashamed, and we started texting. And she said, well, what's up, brother? Like, do you need some help? Like, what's happening? You need to go somewhere? I said, yes. No, we were on the phone. Sorry. I said, yes, I do need some help. I do need to go somewhere. We hung up. She got online. She found Adult Teen Challenge, and she sent me the application. I filled it out immediately. I didn't wait. And now here I am, all right? So, but I just want to say that Adult and Teen Challenge, the good Lord has used Adult and Teen Challenge as a vessel to literally save my life. I'm eternally grateful. This place is, I'm at a loss of words right there. It's just, I'm going to be a part of Adult and Teen Challenge for the rest of my life, some type of way, shape, form, or fashion. I can't express to you guys enough how much it means to me to be able to be in front of you right now, the way that I am right now. I never thought that I'd get here. These men behind me, Lord willing, I'll be able to lead them in worship moving forward. I'll be able to be the choir director at Adult and Teen Challenge. And as Brad said, I am the type of guy that just loves to make people feel better. You know, it's the reason why I cut everybody's hair. You look better, you feel better. Everybody knows that. But the reason why I share my full name in the beginning here is because I was so lost for so long, hiding, had nicknames in the streets, gang banging and things like that. Today I found who I am. I have found out who I truly am and what my calling is, and I'm continuing to figure that out by my relationship with God. And my calling is to be a part of a Adult Teen Challenge. But that's not it. It's just to help people, you know? That's what I'm called to do, and that's what I am going to do. I'll continue to show and share everyone the joy of the Lord. His grace and mercy is so real and so powerful that you see me standing before you today. I should not be here. So thank God I'm in the position that I am. I'm about to graduate and will be able to lead these guys, these men, and continue to counsel them and help them, mentor them however I can. And by doing so, they will be helping me as well. And with that, I leave you with my life verse, which just happens to be on the wall. For those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Still sound pretty good, don't they? I'm going to take a moment here because there's a few people here that they're on our staff, and we've got to have a following. When I originally told you that, you know, God brings a bunch of people together for a reason, and these people here that I'm going to recognize, they want to stay in God's presence through our program. So sometimes, you know, it's just easier to be involved with us 7 days a week, and you just feel the love and everything else that God has to offer. So I'm going to ask Bradley. He's from Kansas. He's from our Teen Challenge in Kansas. Bradley, stand up. Come on. Sister LaVon, who has a table out front, if you want some more information, he's... Yeah. Oh, Tanner, he's our mover shaker guy, Tanner. The newest graduate, last Thursday night, Jason Porter. And I can't emphasize enough that after the service, before we go eat or anything else, please, LaVon has plenty of information, journals, websites, the whole bit, and find one of us. If you need to talk, find one of us. That's what we're here for. God's using us for that. So I got one more testimony for y'all, and then I'll kind of put a cap on it. But this guy here has like three and a half weeks. Come on, Johnny. Brother Johnny.
Yes. Thank you. Good morning, church. My name is Jonathan Vasquez. Here they call me Johnny V. I'm 49 years old. I'm from the south suburbs of Chicago, Chicago Heights. I was born and raised in a church family. My father was a pastor. So I grew up knowing God. I've seen miracles. I've seen a lot of God working in my life. I was a miracle child myself. I wasn't supposed to be born, or I was supposed to not live until 6 months, but God turned that around. Through my life, God's always been there. So at 15 years old, my father gave me a choice to either stay in the church or to leave the church. And of course, I left the church. When I was in high school, I was made fun of. I didn't fit in. I want to experience and fit into the world. So that's what I've done. Most of us have family, good side, bad side. I'm not sure. It's everywhere. But so I joined gang and I'm involved in criminal activity for about 15 years of my life. I'm a father of two boys, but through that, God took me out of that as well. I've seen, a lot of horrible things and done a lot of horrible things myself, but God has blessed me, took me out of that. Just through my life, I've been addicted to drugs for 30 years, cocaine, sold cocaine, did numerous things like that. But like I said, God has been there my whole life and protected me my whole life. I was lost. I was trying to find a way of escape my whole life. I was trying to fit into things that the only thing I could fit into, I just realized at this point, is God. It's just, God has that love. God has a purpose for you, for everyone. And it's we all fall into that trap. But I thank God for a Tell 'Em Teen Challenge. So in the last 4.5 years prior to me coming to Teen Challenge, my son went to prison. Things weren't going right at the house. I had to kick him out of the house. He was robbing, doing things that I was doing when I was involved in that. So he ended up going to prison, Class X felony. And then I had custody of my younger son since he was 8 years old. And then, so I lost it. I just went into drugs really heavy. I lost everything I had. I inherited houses, I had money. For 3.5 years, I didn't work prior to coming here. I just gave up. I just gave up. And I was at the last 2 years before I came here, I was finding a way of escape. I was trying to find a way out of the mess I created. And then finally, a friend of mine, the mother, was trying to get her son into this program. And I just see the number laying down because he was on his desk or his dresser in his bedroom because he was staying with me. And I just called that number, and I was in this program within 4 days. So this is the longest I've been sober, 12 months. I graduated in 3.5 weeks. I just give God all the praise, honor, and glory. It doesn't matter what you go through in your life, trauma, loss, love, whatever you're searching for, Jesus has it for you. God is the answer, Jesus Christ, and God bless you.
Pretty cool. When you think about it, it's pretty cool. Remember at the beginning of the program, about an hour, almost going on an hour ago, I had mentioned I had lost every relationship in my life. Okay, remember that? I lost my son, relationship, I lost my daughter, my mom and dad. Okay. God slowly but surely has brought stuff back in my life the last 4 years. On his time. And Harry and, well, all these guys will attest that, you know, once we finally learn that it's going to be on his time and not on our time, God's going to bless us if we follow him. But it's our choice to follow him. So I've restored a relationship with my mom and dad. Now listen to me. When I left home and came to Adult and Teen Challenge, you know, I was written down in the will. I was not allowed within 1,000 feet of the farm. I mean, everything else, okay? And I wasn't violent by no means. I didn't, you know, do none of that, but they didn't want nothing to do with Brad anymore. We couldn't do nothing with him for 53 years. We don't want nothing else to do with him because I'm talking about they had sent me to 9 different treatment programs and everything else. So they were done. They were done. Okay. And then a couple years ago when God brought her into my life. Yeah, well, she's probably in the will now. I'm not yet, but she's probably in the will. Okay. Amen. Yeah, at least one of us is. Yeah. Amen. But I was patient enough that God knew that I needed somebody in my life to help me in my last season. Okay. So, with that being said, I gave my son's relationship up to the Lord too. I gave him up. He was in jail. He's facing years and years and years of prison time. The whole bit. I was not only blaming myself because I was the drunk and now my son's on drugs and it's all my fault because I didn't set a good example and, you know, all that other stuff. So I give it. And then when I was in this program for a year after I surrendered and said, God, do what you want, he told me to go get my son, bring him to Teen Challenge. Never heard of father or son in the same program, ever, okay? Now I get to see him every day. There's my boy. That's how God. That's how God works. I can't stress that enough. That's how God works. In his time, if you surrender everything, and that's what we're trying to portray is most of us have tried every program in the world. It doesn't work unless he's in charge. I'm gonna close it out with this. Our counselor went to Bradley over here this week. They asked him to come because they had for people who had students at Bradley University, they asked for a panel of treatment counselors. So they asked Kevin to come and be on this panel. Okay, so you got three distinguished suit and tie from the 90-day programs, you know, charge $8,000 a day kind of deal, okay? And then you had Kevin in his, you know, khaki shorts, flip-flops probably. Yeah. Yeah, probably had his Vans on, you know, the whole bit. They got down to him, and he just basically said, we charge $1,500 a year. The guys work to earn their keep. But if you look at it, every one of the programs that was just talked about start with God. We start and finish with God. You know, and so everybody, and that's what, I think that's what resonated. Kevin says, I can't believe it. Everybody after this program flocked to him to talk to Kevin. Not the 30-day program guys that you know, base it on health care insurance and how much money you got. And if you run out of money, got to go, you know. It was more about the God aspect of things. So that's what it's all about. I mean, that's exactly what it's all about. These, and I just can't thank you enough for letting us come today. I just can't thank you enough. And like I said, if you got somebody hurting, man, or you need more info, we're here. We are here. Let's give him another hand. Amen. Pastor.
Is that you done?
I think I'm done.
Oh, man, this is awesome. Wasn't that awesome? Man, so cool, right? Come on. That was awesome. Oh, my gosh. You guys are awesome. And, you know, they're our neighbors, you know. They just live across the alley. So if they're ever late, no excuses. Listen, you guys, there's a couple things that are really important. We're going to take up an offering. The guys got the plates back there ready to go. And I just want you to know that these guys have given us an incredible gift today. They came here to give us the gift. And the gift is that God changes things and nothing's impossible with God. Now listen, this is to boost our faith. I want you to know anything you've been praying for, anything that's dear to your heart, do you have a person, anybody have a person that they're praying for, like really praying and laboring over in prayer and saying, God, get this guy, God, get this person, God, get this person, right? All right. Well, listen, I want you to know that they came here today to tell you, don't give up, keep pressing in, pray fervently, and expect God to do it, because look at what he's done, right? So Jesus, every person that lifted their hand right now, I just pray right now that whoever that person was, you touch them right now. Holy Spirit, go to them. Every person that was represented by the lift of a hand, or in anyone's heart right now, just picture that person or their name right now. Holy Spirit, go there. Whatever they're doing, they can mark the time, 11:18 a.m. on Sunday morning, I felt something. I felt the grace of God. I felt the love of God, and I knew there were people praying for me. Go there, Holy Spirit, right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, these guys got caught up into sin that was physically destructive, and it forced an emergency situation in their lives. They're going to die. They're going to, right? A lot of you guys, I mean, where would these guys be if there wasn't an adult teen challenge? But you and I have sin in our lives that may not manifest in physical destruction as much as it might in spiritual, emotional, and mental. And we can still function, and we can get by. But it's all sin, folks. When God looks down here, he doesn't see the guys on the platform and the people in the seats. He sees level ground, and all of us with our junk, all of us with our stuff, and all of us falling short of the glory of God, and none of us being able to do it ourselves. We're just all equals. This is us. Look at us. These guys, all the way to the back, all the way across, we're just sinners falling short, and only the grace of God will make the difference. Okay. So God, thank you, and release that grace over our lives. If there's anybody here in this church, on the platform, or in the seats, or in the lobby, or wherever they are, who has not yielded to you, and does not have that relationship We've heard from people who were choir directors. We've heard from someone who was a pastor's son. Listen, you can't just go to church and read the Bible. You have to have a relationship with Jesus. That word of God should lead you into that relationship. Church should lead you into that relationship. But if it hasn't, talk to someone, get with someone. The penalty at the end of our lives of not having a relationship is being lost forever. So come, Lord Jesus, into the room right now and do what only you can do. Grab a heart. Claim a heart. Claim a life. Save a soul today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to take up an offering, and I shared with you guys last week that I was sitting at the annual banquet, and the guy said at the annual banquet, Brad, that just he said, you can sponsor somebody for $1,500, and I said to myself, that's a lot of money. Who's going to do that, right? And I thought, wait a minute. Look at what God has done for me and how blessed my life is. And I wrote that check and came home and told Vicki what I did. And she said, praise God. So be generous, brothers and sisters. Be generous during this time. I was going to have you guys sing a song while we took up the offering. But, you know, like what can we do here while they're taking up the offering? Come on up here. Tell us. Come on. Yeah, come on. Do a song. Yeah, do it right here. Stand up. Come on, I'm gonna join you.
Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us, as we forgive. Not into temptation, but deliver us
Praise God. All right. Hey, we're going to end this today. Our prayer ministry time today is going to be praying over these guys. So I want all of you guys to get up here in the front and stretch across the front and then go down the sides because we're going to need a lot of room because there's a lot of you here, praise God, this morning. And we want to release a blessing over you. We want to pray God strengthen you. We want to pray Holy Spirit in you for whatever it is that's going on in you. I want all of you to be prepared to just go where God leads you, that every guy up here has someone laying hands on them and praying for them. Go down the sides if you need to stretch out a little bit. We'll come to you. We'll make sure we don't miss anybody. There are in this church right now, there are spiritual mothers, there are spiritual fathers, there are spiritual brothers and sisters, and we are all family, and you are us, and we are, and you are them, and we are all together, okay? However that all worked out. But we want to pray for you and bless you. And so that's our prayer ministry time today, folks. So I'm going to invite you to come up, and I want you to come up. I want everybody who can get up here to get up. Now there's some people got to get their kids, because otherwise I'll hear from Kat about that. But if you can make it up here, come on up and put your hands on and bless and release the Holy Spirit and bless these men because these are our brothers. All right, come on up. Matt, you can start whatever you're going to do back there, or Courtney or Matthias, whoever's got that music going on while we're praying.